Day 5, that's today. Our voice is kept for Jesus. Keep my voice and let me sing always only for my King. And for today's reading, it's one of Havergal's poems. And it says this: singing for Jesus, our Savior and King, singing for Jesus, the Lord whom we love. All adoration we joyously bring, longing to praise as they praise him above. Singing for Jesus, our Master and Friend, telling his love and his marvelous grace, love from eternity, love to the end, love for the loveless, the sinful and base. Singing for Jesus and trying to win many to love him and join in the song, calling the weary and wandering in, rolling the chorus of gladness along. Singing for Jesus, our life and our light. Singing for him as we press to the mark. Singing for him when the morning is bright. Singing, still singing for him in the dark. Singing for Jesus, our shepherd and guide. Singing for gladness of heart that he gives. Singing for wonder and praise that he died. Singing for blessing and joy that he lives. Singing for Jesus, oh, singing with joy. Thus will we praise him and tell out his love till he shall call us to brighter employ. Singing for Jesus forever above. Keep my voice and let me sing always only for my King. I thought I'd like to continue that theme tonight. Singing the praises of the Lord and singing to him and singing for him. It's such an important part of the Christian life. The voice of joy and rejoicing is in the tabernacles of the righteous. We ought to be praising him. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Sing unto the Lord. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Oh, come, Psalm 95. Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to him with psalms. This is very important, and we want to learn to sing. And sing, maybe you don't have that voice. God put a song in your heart. He wants to hear it. Maybe you want to sing it just for yourself. No, you don't want to sing it just for yourself. You want to sing it for him, to him. Maybe you don't want people to hear it, but whatever, he'll help you. And you'll want to rejoice, and let that rejoicing heart overflow over your lips. Sing that new song that he gave you to sing. I mentioned it this morning, I think it was, how this young lady in the church in Vancouver said, now we've sung out of the book, now let's sing. Those were other people's songs. Of course, we make them our own, that's true. But now let's sing the song that he gave us to sing. After we finish this verse, fourth verse or whatever, just close the book and sing that new song that he gave you to sing. And it's so wonderful. You think that's a song that he likes to hear? I think so. I think he'd like to hear us use the song that he gave us to sing. And so tonight, I'd like to take some time to do something a little different. Just to focus on this subject of song and praise and rejoicing that overflows in songs of thanksgiving. Maybe you have an experience in your memory that has to do with singing God's praises. I have one. I'll go first. Maybe someone else will think of something. I remember that I was in the kitchen working the first year I was on the staff. Brother Gardner had called me up. I was registered to go and be a camper in Onantum. It was going to be my last year as a camper. And one of the dish boys injured himself. And he was on schedule for the whole summer, I believe, this fellow. And he dislocated his shoulder, and so his arm was in a sling. And, of course, he wasn't able to do the dishes. But they kept him here and let him recuperate and thought that before too long he'd be able to work in some capacity. So he was on staff. But Brother Gordon called me up and said, "Would you come and help us on staff?" And I thought, well, yeah, of course I'm looking forward to that. Why not say yes? So I said yes, and I did dishes almost the whole summer. And when this guy came back, his arm wasn't right yet. And I still remember how he worked so very slowly. And I remember that it was quite a struggle for me to be patient with him. I know that he had a bit of pain and that it wasn't easy for him, and they had asked him to come back and try to work. But until he was there, I was working with other people, and we had, you know, it down to some kind of a routine or a science. We got done as quickly as we could. I don't know what happened tonight, but we seemed to be able to get out pretty quickly. And when this guy came back, it was all day almost. That's what it seemed like, of course. I was just 15 years old, and it just seemed like it was moving so slowly. It was awful, especially the noon meal, the big meal. And that was the time when you wanted to get out there, you know. And there we'd be, just working away slowly. And, of course, the waitresses weren't too happy with that either, because they wanted their dishes finished. And I think at that time, do you still do it that way, that you have to get the clean dishes and then set up for the evening? I don't know if you do it that way, but that was the way it happened then. And so they all had to wait around, too. And it just wasn't so good. And I can recall Sister Rosie Salvia. Some of you remember her. She was the camp cook. And she was great. She was a great cook and a lot of fun, as I recall anyway. But this fella was making it really hard for me. And he was, on top of that all, he was a very, I guess maybe it was during his time when he didn't have to work. He became, or he was already, a very spiritual young man. So he was constantly, you know, for instance, he would take a hymn book, and he didn't know the songs, and he would stick it in that window there, right over above that counter where you bring out the dishes to dry, and he would stick it there, and then he would want to sing, and he couldn't sing well. He couldn't sing well, and he didn't know the verses. And so when he was supposed to be doing the dishes, he'd go over there, and he'd be, "There is never a day," whatever, you know, and he'd be, and so that would take a little more time. And sometimes I would just want to take that book and slam it shut and throw it across the room. But I held back. I just remember one day it was just too much for me. And I just remember there was some incident that I can remember what it was, but I don't want to go through that whole long description. There was some that just got to me. We were right at that point, you know, where something was going to happen, and nothing violent, but I just know there was something that was going to erupt, at least verbal, and. And there in the background was Rosie, and she was singing. And she was singing this song. That's why we sang it tonight, by the way. She was singing, "Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. In the heart he implanteth a song. A song of deliverance, of courage, of strength. In the heart he implanteth a song." And I know I didn't feel like singing at that moment. I just wanted to get out of the kitchen, get finished with the dishes. But it grabbed me when she did that. I heard it in the background. She wasn't singing loudly, but she sang a song of deliverance. And I thought, you know, I really need to get over this. This poor guy, he was injured. I felt like I was doing all of his work, you know, washing and drying and everything, you know. But I said, you got to get over this. Stop it. It's going to get better, you know. And Rosie's song was such a blessing to me. You can just lay this down, you know. You don't have to be this way. You come in here, and it's like this day after day, you know. Just stop it. Just stop it. A song of deliverance. Get the song of praise in your heart. Get filled with the joy of the Lord. It'll make everything go better. You know, Rosie's song was such a blessing to me. I don't know if I ever told her. Maybe she's hearing me now. She's with the Lord. It was such a blessing to me. It really was. And a song of deliverance. Lord, deliver me. Give me the strength to just be patient with this. And love this guy and work with him. And you know, the Lord did. He really did. That song was a great big help to me. And the timing was perfect. God was in it, I'm sure. She was just up to that line, a song of deliverance, of courage, of strength in the heart. He implanted the song. I never forget that. That was many years ago. And you know, since then, I have never once gotten annoyed at anything. Wouldn't that be a great testimony? Well, if you believe that, there's this bridge that I'd like to sell you. I wish that I could say that. But I know this, that songs have often helped me, been a great blessing to me. The words and the music have really changed everything, often, often. And the Lord helps us with these things, doesn't He? And it does get better as we go along. So praise the Lord. He's helping us all, and He wants us to learn to rejoice. It says rejoice evermore. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We're the real deal, he says in Philippians 3. We are the circumcision, and that's what it means. We're the true children of God. Who? We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. God wants us to rejoice. I don't want to take a lot of time with this. I determined not to preach tonight. I'm going to read something from the Bible to you. But I was just thinking about Jesus and his last words to his disciples in the Gospel of John. He repeats. You read it more than once, more than twice. I'm talking to you like this because I want you to have fullness of joy. I want you, my disciples, to have my joy fulfilled in you. He prays that way in his high priestly prayer in John 17, showing us that one of the marks, one of the characteristics of the Christian church, individuals and of our assemblies too, should be joy. We should be a rejoicing people. Our hearts and our meetings and our families should be full of song and praise to our God. So Rosie was singing to Jesus. She had no idea that I was even listening, but she was singing for Jesus, as it says here. And it was a great blessing to me that day. And we got along much better after that. Thank the Lord. And it seemed like the work got done. It went faster. At least it seemed that way. Song of deliverance, of courage, of strength. Sing it. Sing it. I've heard that story all my life. My mom, I remember, I was 4 years old also here at camp, and there was a swing set out there, and a different one, but there was a swing set out there, and I'd get out there after morning worship, and it had been so nice. We talked about this before when we started morning worship, and it seemed like worship was so long, you know, for a four-year-old. Mom was working in the office, and I'd be in these Watch Rock meetings, and it seemed like worship was so long. It seemed long when I was 15 also. But I remember how it would cloud over during worship. And sometimes when we got outside, of course you remember it this way. I'm sure it wasn't this way every day, but it seemed like it. When he got outside by that time, it'd be drizzling already. And my mom said, you know, why don't you sing the clouds away? She taught us that song, sing the clouds away. Night will turn to day. If you sing and sing and sing, you'll sing the clouds away. And I'd go on the swing and I'd try it. And I have to tell you, it didn't always work. But sometimes it did. And anyway, at least in my heart, there was a change, if not in the sky. So and so it will be for us if we learn our lessons to sing and rejoice. That will please the Lord. He wants us to have that mark in our lives, that characteristic in our individual hearts and in our gatherings too. The joy of the Lord, the song of joy and rejoicing. Amen. Now we have a brother here who's been singing for Jesus for many years, and he has a song ready for us tonight. I've often been blessed by his songs, and that's Brother John Impelizzari, and I'm thankful that he has one for us this evening. 103. Let's stand as we sing.
Seated.
Hallelujah.